The Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 128. I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Hear to the word of the Lord, a song of ascents. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Pray that you would send your Holy Spirit now and teach us from your word. In the name of Jesus and for his sake, we pray. Amen. We continue our study of the Psalms of Ascent today, and these were pilgrim psalms that were either sung or recited by the Hebrews when they ascended to Jerusalem three times a year to celebrate the feasts that God had commanded through Moses. And the Psalms would have been Jesus' own prayer book, song book, and Jesus quotes the Psalms often, so I think we can be confident that Jesus considered the Psalms God's own word. Well, there are 15 Psalms of Ascent. Psalm 128 is the ninth in the series, and the Psalms of Ascent follow a series of themes, various themes from repentance to providence, worship to service, God's help, joy, and many other themes. And when I began preparing this message for today, I found one source that said Psalm 128 is about peace. And I found another source that said Psalm 128 is about family. And I found another source that said Psalm 128 is about happiness. So I'm going to take the easy way out. It's about all of those things, okay? But I do think, and the emphasis you'll hear today, is about happiness. I'd like to begin by looking at the structure of Psalm 128. It's kind of a poetic sandwich. It starts with a promise. Verses 1 and 2 promise a blessing, blessedness to those who fear the Lord. It ends with a pronouncement of the blessing in verses 5 and 6, sort of a claiming of the promise that was made. And then right in the middle, sandwiched in between those two, is an example of the blessing, this family that's described here in the psalm. Verses 1 and 2, the promise. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Well, to start with this psalm, we need to understand terms in the very first verse, especially the terms blessed or blessed and fear. What does the psalmist mean by blessed or blessed? Our New Testament reading this morning had Jesus pronouncing what we've come to call the Beatitudes, the blessings. And the Greek word in Matthew from the text that was read is makarios, and it means blessed, fortunate, or happy. So Jesus is saying, happy are those who are poor in spirit. Happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And here in Psalm 128, it's the Hebrew word esher, and it means the same thing, happy. So the promise of this psalm is happiness. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Well, the next word we need to look at is fear. Fear is something we have to learn in life. As children's brains develop, they go through stages where they may have body control, but they haven't learned fear yet. They're fearless. That's why God gave them parents, Children don't know instinctively to be afraid of a moving automobile. One of our sons had to learn to be afraid of going fast and out of control on his snow skis, right? Parents were there for that. Well, fear here does not mean frightened, the way I get when I watch a scary movie. Easton's describes it as a designation of true piety. It is a fear conjoined with love and hope, and is therefore not a slavish dread, but rather filial reverence. So fear here means reverence, awe, respect, in right relationship with God, submitted to God's dominion. When we fear the Lord, we are in alignment, in harmony with God and His universe. So here is the promise. Happy is everyone who fears the Lord, walks in His ways, is in right relationship with the Lord. Well, there's another word in the verse we need to consider. It's the one, everyone. Have you ever noticed how often the Bible uses absolutes? In my work as a project manager, I have to be very careful about how I use absolute words. All and always are words that you don't put into a contract unless you really, really mean them. And if I ever hear an employee complaining about someone else, something along the lines of, he always does this or she never does that, I have to question that because it might not actually be true. But in Scripture, we hear many absolutes. We hear Jesus saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And here in this psalm, we see this promise for everybody. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. So not only is it a generous promise, it applies universally and without any exceptions. It's an absolute. Well, the promise is happiness, to enjoy the fruit of your labors, to be well, to be happy. We like the idea of being happy. As Americans, it's sort of part of our national creed. In our own Declaration of Independence, our forefathers considered life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to be inalienable rights of every human being. But what does it mean to be happy? And what is happiness? The world claims to have the answer. Consider hair growth commercials. They start out with a man or a woman who looks insecure and weak. And then they get some more hair growing, and what happens? They're confident, self-assured, and happy, right? Or how about cosmetic surgery or new teeth, all with the promise of happiness? We tend to look for things outside of us to make us happy. If only X fill in the blank, then I would be happy. If only I would win the lottery, then I'd be happy. If only I would get that new job or that promotion, then I'd be happy. If only I could meet the perfect mate, then I'd be happy. If only I could retire with my magic number in the bank, then I'd be happy. A number of years ago, when I worked for the state of Idaho, there was a man in our unit. I'll call him Rex. That's not actually his name. But Rex was very talkative. And Rex was very excited about his upcoming retirement. And you couldn't even pass him in the hallway without hearing from him, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to take it easy, I'm not going to have to come here anymore, I'm going to go fishing every day, all these things that he was going to do. Well, we had a retirement party for Rex and a send-off. And about a year later, I came into the office to see some very sad faces. We had learned that Rex's wife had found him dead. Rex had shot himself with a shotgun. Retirement didn't bring the happiness that he was looking forward to. I think if we're honest with ourselves as people, we don't really know what's going to make us happy. We think we know, but we really don't. There's been a lot of research done on human happiness, and scientific study is telling us a lot of things that we already know about happiness from God's Word, the Bible. The psychologist and author Henry Cloud, who's also a committed Christian, written some excellent books, wrote a little book called The Law of Happiness. And in this book, he shares great insights from Scripture and from science about what happiness is and how we can find lasting happiness. God created us. Only He knows what will make us happy. Only He can give us lasting happiness. According to Dr. Cloud and numerous studies, the contributors to happiness for each of us generally fall along these three lines. The first one, external circumstances, the new car, the new job, the new house. Enjoy it while it lasts, but it won't last long. Circumstances have limited power to make us happy. It's not lasting. And while we're chasing circumstances to make us happy, we're not doing the things that actually would make us happy. And yet look at where we put so much of our energy and focus trying to be happy. External circumstances account for about 10% of our happiness as human beings. Just 10%. Well, the next factor is our internal makeup, genetic, temperament, constitutional. We see this if we're around a group of babies, and you've probably seen this too. Some of them just seem naturally happy, and others, not so much. They're going to have to work at it a little more in life. And as they get older, those patterns become even more visible. Well, these built-in factors make up about 50% of our happiness as human beings. And now I'm quoting researcher Sonia Lubomirsky, a Stanford PhD who has spent most of her career studying human happiness. She says, "The rest of what goes into your happiness comes from things that are directly under your control, your behaviors, thoughts, and intentional practices in your life, the things that you do on purpose, what you give your attention to, what you give your energy to, and what goes on inside of you have the power to make you happy. These are factors that you and only you control." So there you have it. Happiness isn't about what's happening to us. It's mostly who we are and the choices we make. And Dr. Cloud goes on to elaborate the characteristics of happy people and the biblical basis for each one of them. And here are the indicators. Kind of a summary. Happy people are givers. Jesus taught us that it's more blessed to give than to receive, and God loves a cheerful giver. Happy people are not lazy about happiness. Happy people don't wait for someday. Happy people pursue goals. Happy people fully engage. Remember the Apostle Paul telling us, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Happy people connect with other people, fellowship. Happy people don't compare themselves to others. Happy people think well. Happy people are grateful. The Apostle Paul told us to give thanks in all things. And Psalm directs us dozens of times to give thanks, to be grateful. Happy people have boundaries. Happy people forgive. We just prayed this morning, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And Jesus told us that if we don't forgive others, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. Happy people have a calling. And finally, happy people have faith. We live by faith and not by sight. The Bible tells us several places the righteous will live by faith. Well, do any of these sound familiar? I think they should. Back to our psalm. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. And now we come to verses 3 and 4, the subject of family. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. I have a confession to make. To me, this picture of a family is so idyllic, it almost stretches credibility. Wife, a fruitful vine in your house. Children, olive plants around your table? Really? Come on. Maybe it resembles your family. Maybe it resembles the family you grew up in. And if you grew up in an intact family, as imperfect as it might have been, give thanks to God for it. I grew up in a broken home. After several years of drama and chaos, my own father moved out for the last time when I was 7 years old. The absence of a father in my childhood has been a cross to bear my whole life. And as a young person, I ached for a father. I was jealous of the kids who had mom and dad at home. I had a faithful, God-fearing mother, and God brought men into my life who befriended me and were role models for me. But there was always a big, painful hole in my life where my father should have been. And I know I'm not the only one. So this idyllic picture of a family here in Psalm 128 is kind of hard for me to comprehend. A wife like a fruitful vine, children like olive shoots around the table. But it is an example of happiness, life, liveliness, vibrance, beauty, joyfulness. And notice the psalmist doesn't say if the olive shoots ever talk back to their parents. I wonder about that. If this ideal family isn't your experience, I have good news for you. If we are in Christ, we have been adopted into God's own family. We are God's children, and we can be the olive shoots around His table. You're invited into God's family, no matter how messed up you are or how messed up your earthly family is. Jesus said in Matthew, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." I think those are the ones who fear the Lord and walk in His ways. And now we come to verses 5 and 6, the pronouncement of the promised blessing. And this part is really a prayer. It reminds me a little bit of Moses' benediction in the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. May you be blessed, so may you be happy. May God bless you from Zion, His holy hill. May God prosper you. May you see your children's children, the blessing of grandchildren. May your family be blessed, and may you have peace. May Israel have peace. Many years ago, Eugene Peterson lamented the way the Psalms had sort of been lost to modern Christians as prayers. I mean, we always have had the Psalms, but he felt that we were missing the inheritance of using the Psalms as prayers because they weren't really in our own language anymore. To a lot of folks, they didn't feel like they were. So that's when Eugene Peterson started translating. And he started translating the Psalms of Ascent, so these very Psalms that we're studying, translating them into a language that he wanted people to be able to relate to and to be able to pray in. And you may be familiar with it. Over several years, he started out with the Psalms of Ascent, and he said, well, I might as well translate the rest of the Psalms, and then it grew into a translation of the whole entire Bible called The Message. But this is where it started out, the Psalm of Ascent. So in closing, I'd like to read Eugene Peterson's own translation of Psalm 128, and think of it as a prayer. All you who fear God, how blessed you are. How happily you walk on His smooth, straight road. You worked hard and deserve all you've got coming. Enjoy the blessing. Revel in the goodness. Your wife will bear children as a vine bears grapes. Your household lush as a vineyard. The children around your table as fresh and promising as young olive shoots. Stand in awe of God's yes. Oh, how He blesses the one who fears God. Enjoy the good life in Jerusalem every day of your life. And enjoy your grandchildren. Peace to Israel. Through this time-worn prayer, God calls us today to strive to live lives of blessed happiness in right relationship with Him. So, brothers and sisters, let us practice being faithful in our work of living with gratitude, practicing forgiveness, and training our eyes and ears to see God's family all around us. Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for inviting us into your family. Thank you for adopting us as your very own children. Thank you for your promise of blessing, of happiness to those who walk in your ways. Help us, Father, each day, each step to walk with you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.